Very thankful this morning to be serving a God that has stood the test of time. In any mountain, any difficulty that we face in life, there is a God who has proven Himself time and time again, and this time is going to be no different. This time is going to be no different. And if the Lord tarries His coming, years down the road, we're going to be able to look back to this time and say, yes, God was faithful. He proved Himself one more time. And, you know, in a few years, we may be struggling again. Lord, what about this mountain? And the Lord's going to say, you remember in 2014 that mountain? God's going to prove Himself. We live in a world that we know is very corrupt. It's full of evil. It's full of religions, full of coercion, pressure, live in a time of stresses. But I am thankful this morning, and I've written on the board the riches of His goodness. And I would like to speak to you about this morning the riches of the goodness of God. We have a God that is good. There are people sometimes that maybe you have not met or don't know very well. So you go and ask someone else, what about this person? And they begin to tell you their perception of that person. Well, they're a hard worker. They're lazy. That's someone that they're responsible, or it may be you just can't count on them. Or maybe it's one of those people you say they mean well. Now, in our household, Renee and I, when we jokingly tell each other, well, they mean well. When we say someone means well, we know they're not getting the job done. In other words, maybe they have good intentions, but you just can't count on them to get the job done. What do people think about when they think about you? You know, the Scripture says even a child is known by what? By his doings. In other words, the way that we conduct ourselves, the attitudes we have, we're known by that. Well, this morning, what do you know God as? Because there are a lot of different perceptions of God. And I acknowledge this morning that God is a God of judgment. That's scriptural. He is a God of judgment. But do you know that well before He's a God of judgment, He is a God of mercy? He is a God of... The Scripture tells us what God is. It's, you children, God is love. That's right. You say, well, what is the nature of God? You know, what is the nature? I want to get beyond just something He did. Because do you know bad people can do good things? You know, in good people sometimes can do bad things. You know what I'm saying? What is the nature of God, though? What is His nature? The Scripture says God is love. God is merciful. God is good. Do we believe that this morning? Because in the world, people's perception of God, they say, well, I'm not really into the God thing. I'm not really too interested in all of that. Folks, God is good this morning. I just want to remind you, by the Word of God, by His Word, to remind us that God is good this morning. Scripture in 1 Chronicles, in the 16th chapter, in verse 34, it says, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. What do we have to give thanks for this morning? I have been very blessed as the Lord was giving me this message. I've been so thankful as I've meditated and considered. We have much to be thankful for because we serve a good God. And when we come to Him with our burdens and with our needs and requests, and we consider, what is this all about? You know, what are we doing? Who are we serving? We are serving a God that is in His very nature. He is good. Give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Doesn't that sound like someone that's good? Have you ever been fed up with someone? Let's just be honest about it. Have you ever gotten to the place that you just thought, I can't handle much more of this person because of the things they're doing? Understand me. In the flesh I'm speaking of. Now, there's grace when you get there. And I found it works. There's grace. But when you get to that place, you think, you know, we've had mercy a long time. It's about time for some judgment now, Lord. In the flesh. The Scripture says, God, it says, give thanks to the Lord because He's good and His mercy endures forever. It keeps on reaching out. Have not we all been recipients of the mercy of God this morning? Do you know that's God's goodness? When other people might have been able, justifiably so or not, they might have been able to look on and say, okay, it's time for, you know, the buck stops here. Time for some judgment. And the Lord came along and He just reached out His arms and He extended mercy. That's God's goodness. You know, I would not be here this morning, and I'm not just talking about after I got saved, if it were not for the mercy and the long-suffering of God, I would not be here this morning. But it was because His mercy endured. Have you ever endured? You know what that means? It just kept going and taking on, and His mercy was still there. God is good this morning, folks. We serve a good God, and we have reason right in the middle. I know Sunday school, Brother Justin took some of the words just right out of my mouth as the Lord had put on my heart. But I want to tell you something. We have a world that, and he said it this morning, I'm just going to reiterate it. There are a lot of gods in this world, false though they are. And those gods are harsh, demanding, even the gods of this world, the things that people idolize. They're demanding. They take their toll. You follow after the things of the world and you idolize and you worship it with your time and your money and your affections. They will take a toll on you physically, emotionally, and spiritually. They'll take their toll. But we have a God this morning that we serve, the God, the creator of the universe. You say, what is His nature? He is a good God. He's good. And we have reason to be thankful. He is a benevolent deity. You know, we can look at Brother Justin used the word dictator, but you can look at dictators and demanding and what they require, and when they say go, you go, and when they... Some people see God like that. They see God as someone that's harsh and demanding, and He does it because He's God. Do you know that's not why God does what He does? God does what He does in your life because of His goodness. It's not just because He's more powerful than we are. It's not just because I can make you do it or else. It's because He works in our lives and allows things and causes things because He loves us and He wants to bring us to that expected end. He's good this morning. And if you begin to question, Lord, why? I want you to remember the goodness of God. Give thanks. Because He's good. And when I see all the other stuff around about me, I can remember that there is an Almighty God in heaven that is looking down on me with love and compassion and mercy and with desire to bring me into a place of greater victory, greater peace, and greater joy. That is God's goodness this morning. I'm thankful I am serving a good God. So who is this God we serve? God defined Himself to Moses. You may recall over in Exodus, in the 34th chapter, when the Lord was going to pass before Moses. Exodus chapter 34, we'll begin reading with verse 5. Said, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood before him, and proclaim the name of the Lord. Now, take note of this. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed. This is what was proclaimed from God Himself. The Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Who is the God that you serve this morning? Is He a God that has His arms folded looking down on you with disdain? Is He a God that's there with the sword of judgment raised, ready to cut you off at any little problem you have in life? What God do you serve? Someone asked me a question over in Kenya a couple months ago. They said, is Allah the God that we serve? And if you have a quick answer, I don't know if you've studied that or not. I actually read up a little bit on it just even recently. The name Allah was used well before Muhammad. Okay? It was used well before Muhammad by Christians that spoke that language. That was God. But today, in people's mind, when you associate Allah with Muhammad's God, I would say, no, that is not the same God. So it's not in the word itself. You have to get beyond the word itself. What God are you talking about? The God that I serve is not the God of Muhammad. Because the God that I serve has a son whose name is Jesus. The creator of the universe is a God that is abundant in goodness. Has your goodness ever about run out? Have you ever had contact or been involved with someone that seemed like their goodness about just got to the end of it? And it was good and now it's just otherwise? You know that we have a God this morning that is abundant. It's just overflowing. There's more than enough goodness. And what did He say here? He's gracious, long-suffering. You know someone that's gracious? You know what that means? Someone that's gracious makes you feel comfortable. That's what gracious is. Now, God does not make us comfortable in our sins. Don't misunderstand me. But His purpose and His end desire for everything in our life, He is gracious, He's long-suffering, He's abundant in goodness and truth. It said He's merciful. Doesn't that sound like a God that you would like to serve? I mean, if there's anything that we're going to serve this morning, this sounds like the kind of a God, if I were to try to draw up a list of characteristics that I would like to have someone in my life, merciful, kind. You know what it means to be good in this context? Looked it up. Because we think, well, goodness, okay, it's just kind of this generic. It means kind. And I want to read you the definition of kind. Definition of goodness first is kindness. Quality of being good, moral excellence, virtue. And I like this. This was just kind of a homey definition. Kindly feeling. Do you associate that with God? You know, there's a lot of people that don't know God well enough to recognize that. Kindly feeling. Generosity. And the definition of kind then, because this goes to the root of goodness. Kind means of a friendly, generous, or warm-hearted nature. Do you all think of God as being warm-hearted? Do you know that He is very warm-hearted? That's why He sent Jesus to this earth. Showing sympathy or understanding, charitable, pleasant disposition, and kindness and concern for others. We serve a God that God Himself defined Himself as being abundant in goodness. Over in Romans in the second chapter, what is it that leadeth men to repentance? It's the goodness of God. That passage, and we'll read it here in Romans 2, was almost a reproof or a warning to people that were rejecting God. Because do you know, recognize when people reject God, they are not rejecting that power that's up there doing it because He can. They are rejecting a spiritual being who has their welfare at heart, who wants to work good for them in their life. That's a dangerous thing to reject in this world of evil and sin, to reject the very power that can bring goodness in our life. In Romans chapter 2, we'll begin reading with verse 2. He said, but we are sure the judgment of God is according to the truth against them which commit such things. He's talking about those in the previous chapter, those that were committing works of unrighteousness and sin. And he said, we know the judgment of God is sure. It's going to come. But now, consider verse 3. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Do you think that if you go off and follow after the works of the flesh, do you think you're going to escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness, and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Do you despise the goodness of God? The riches, it says, despisest thou the riches of His goodness. And I would, to remind us of the riches of God's goodness this morning. This is why it is so sad when we see our loved ones and see the world rejecting the riches of His goodness. And they think, I don't want to serve God because then I don't want to live that way because then I can't do this and I have to do that. Do you know people that have that impression of God really don't know God? Yes, there are things that we don't do. And yes, there are things that we do. But why do we do them? Because of love. Because I have entered into a relationship with a God that is full of, He's rich in goodness. And I want to please Him because He's there bestowing on me something that I can't manufacture myself. I don't have the ability to manufacture peace. I can't manufacture joy. I can't manufacture or be good enough in my own self to deserve eternal life. That's God's goodness that gives that. Oh, dear ones, let's not despise the riches of His goodness this morning. Let's know that in everything that touches our life, that there is a God that is looking down on us, and there are riches of His goodness. I don't want to despise those things. He went on, he said here, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. You notice it said, the goodness of God leadeth thee. Didn't say force thee. Said it leadeth thee. In other words, it draws. Now you better be respectful or else. I'm not saying there's not a place for parents to do that sometimes. But understand that we want to live worthy of respect, don't we? Do you know that God has conducted Himself, and I don't want to humanize Him too much, but folks, God defined Himself this way. He was full of kindness. He was warm-hearted. Do you know that He has conducted Himself in such a way that He is worthy of respect and honor and love? And I don't want to reject that goodness. I don't want to turn away from the very thing that can be the answer to the needs in my life. The God that is rich in goodness is the one that is most capable of ministering to the needs in our life this morning. Let's not reject that, but it leads. It doesn't drive rich. When someone is rich, it denotes excess. You know, when you're just getting by and you actually have to balance your bank account, you know there are some people that don't have to balance their bank account. Maybe you're there. If you are, that's wonderful. That's some of the riches of His goodness if you will keep those things consecrated to God. But when you are rich, you don't have to worry about really just those, oh, I put $60 of gas. Now, let's see here. Can I get 50 or 60? You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to balance it because there's abundance that's coming in there. God is rich in goodness. There is an abundance this morning. There is excess. In other words, whatever is needed, it's there. It's valuable. An abundance then of love. Have you ever got the place you wondered at, how can God forgive this? Look on people that have left God and done some horrible things, and you wonder, is there any hope? Do you know there is hope this morning? Because our God is rich in goodness. Even those that have turned their back on Him, His mercy and love and warm-heartedness is reaching out graciously to those people. And my prayer is for the unsaved that the veil would be taken off their eyes of who God really is. He loves them. He cares about them. He's merciful and kind. And we could just say those words over and over, but folks, it is a reality. Look at your own life. Have you not seen the goodness of God? When you look in the past, have you not seen where the Lord has been so gracious to us and merciful and kind, and He's just been so good? I thought about when the adulterous woman was brought to Jesus, and there were those that were there, and they were the righteous ones, right? They had the law on their side, but they had forgotten the goodness of God. They'd forgotten His goodness. And when they were there to cast their stones and try to bring condemnation, Jesus looked on that woman. He said, "Neither do I condemn thee." He wasn't excusing her unrighteousness. He wasn't overlooking it. But He was there, warm-hearted. Do you not feel the warm-heartedness of Christ when He looked on that lady? I believe she looked on someone. It wasn't that accusatory stare. But it was someone that was looking at her with love and compassion. And I think all it took was the look. I don't even think Jesus needed to say it. But He went ahead and said, He said, "I don't condemn thee, but go and sin no more." The goodness of God elevates us from a condition of sin to a condition of righteousness that we cannot do in our own ability. Go and sin no more. That was nothing but the goodness of God. God is good this morning. The prodigal son that was so far from home, he had left what he had known. He had been foolish. He got himself in a mess. What is God? How does God view that this morning? You know, the father was there at home waiting for his son to come back. And when he came back, he went running. And do you know what we often do? Maybe that's too generic. But do you know what people sometimes do? I've watched it. I've seen it. We'll give them some time. Let's see. We'll give them some time, and they need to prove themselves. And I know there's a place to prove. But do you know that God that sees the heart, He had His arms outstretched. He said, "Welcome home, son." That was the goodness of God. You regained inheritance. You went and squandered what you have. But you know what? I'm going to put you back in the will. And He said, "Wait, that's not fair." That's the goodness of God. Has not He done that for us this morning? To some degree or another, God has done that for us. And when we look on those that we're praying for and people that you may deal with that kind of wonder, can God ever forgive me, or I've made such a mess, I just would that we remember the riches of His goodness. This is the God that we serve. The thief on the cross that said, "This man hasn't done anything." And Jesus said, "This day thou wilt be with me." How did that happen? That was just the goodness of God. Warm-hearted, compassionate, merciful. We talked about Jehoshaphat last Sunday afternoon that was dismayed, the battle, the multitude that dismayed him when he looked around. He didn't know what to do. Do you know what it was that brought Jehoshaphat out? It was the goodness of God. It was His goodness. The scripture over in Psalms, and we could go on and on. And over in Psalms 33, in the latter part of the fifth verse, it says, "The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord." I look at the world and the seasons that we have. You know, nature itself, doesn't that show some of God's goodness? Nature itself. But most importantly, I think about, and I was so blessed, and I know it's so familiar to us, but the 23rd Psalm. Do you know what David said would follow him? Goodness and mercy. What God are you serving this morning? How do you see God? What is the nature of the God that we serve? He is good. Let's not forget all these adjectives. I've been repeating them over and over, but it's real. This is the God that we serve this morning. And if you feel alone, do you know what part of the goodness of God is? It's His friendship that will not turn His back on you. He will not stab you in the back. He will not betray you. He will not let you down. He will not forsake you. That's the goodness of God. I can trust in someone like that. I may not understand everything He does. I may not know why He allows everything He does, but I can stand on this morning that God knows and He loves and He cares and He has a warm disposition towards me and He's going to work for me. Can you make it another day? Consider the riches of His goodness. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me. How long? All the days of our life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I began to reflect a little bit more about His goodness. David told us previously in that passage what the goodness of God was. He's my shepherd. He's one that's looking after me and caring for me. He comforts me. He prepares a table before me where? In the presence of my enemies, when things are arrayed against me, the Lord in His goodness comes down. That's His riches. And He puts an abundance of food, spiritual food, grace and peace and forgiveness and love and enablement and courage right in the middle of opposition. Is not that the goodness of God? And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what? I won't fear. Why? Because Thou art with me. And previous to that, He said, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Is not this the goodness of God? In whatever situation, He's my shepherd. He's my comfort. He's my strength. He feeds me. Oh, surely I can say as the psalmist David this morning, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Oh, the riches of His goodness this morning, His kindness, His understanding, His provision. And I couldn't help but think, and I know it's in one of our songs, it says, glory. It comes from the psalm too. It's a scripture. Glorious things are spoken of Thee, O City of God. And I thought, well, the City of God, because I was thinking the glory, and it came to my mind, the Lord was talking about His goodness. The glorious things are spoken of Thee. Thou City of God, it's God's city. That's the place where God dwells. That's the place that we experience His goodness. Have you ever, I know you have, you've been around children and maybe some adults, have you ever offered them something to eat and someone or talking about food and they say, I don't like that? How do you know you don't like that? I could tell you that I don't like possum, and I'd be persuaded in my own mind this morning that I wouldn't like it. But I'll tell you what, I've never tasted it. All right, I don't know what you think about it, but all I can say is I haven't tried it. And there are certain foods that people say, I don't like it. Say, well, have you tried it? Well, no. Then you don't know what you're talking about. If you haven't tried it, you don't know what you're talking about. And maybe someone packaged it up in an unattractive way. You know what I'm saying? And it looked a little disgusting to even look at it. I mean, I'll tell you, I tried liver all kinds of ways. Well, you can package that however you want, and I still have my opinion. But there are some things, if you haven't tried it, it's like, try it then. Do you know there's a scripture that talks about that? What's it say? Oh, taste and see that what? That the Lord is good. Psalms 34 and 8, taste and see. It was a challenge to the world. Try it. If you haven't tasted, people say, well, yeah, I've tried. What have you tried? Well, I started going to church and I kind of stopped doing that. And I started doing that and I just, yeah, it's not for me. Do you really know who God is? Have you really tasted of Him? Have you really opened up your heart and said, Lord, whatever You want, I want to know You. I have found as I've gotten to know God, and it's almost like a little more of a revelation this week, He's good. Oh, the riches of His goodness. And I would challenge as we go out and you talk to people and they kind of start shying away from that word of holiness. And all. Oh no. Oh no, God is good. That holiness of God in our life, that's what brings forth the joy and the riches that we can experience. It comes from obedience and giving ourselves to God. But it's because He loves me. That's my friend. You're talking about someone that has seen me through the battles of life. And when it seems impossible today, all I can say is like Jehoshaphat, Lord, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on You because I know You're rich in goodness. Oh, let's be encouraged to go forward this morning. And I would challenge anybody, put God to the test. Put Him to the test. And there are some things that if you believe in it, I'm not ashamed to say, try it. You know what it was, Walmart or something used to have a guarantee. What is that little saying? Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back? A lot of businesses don't do that anymore. But when you've got a good product, you can stand behind it. And I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ this morning. I am not ashamed of the God that I serve because He's rich in goodness. So you try it or you can leave it if you don't like it. But I want to tell you, when people really get to know God, they're not going to want to leave Him. When they really get to know the richness of His goodness, they're going to say, why didn't you tell me it was like that? I tried. But this is something you're going to have to taste for yourself. We can only tell people so much. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, there's so much more. What did the psalmist David say? I had fainted unless I had believed to see what? The goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Psalms 27. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I would have fainted. I just couldn't have faced it unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. His mercy, His long suffering, His kindness, His deliverance, His warmth. That's what saw David through. And folks, that is what will see us through. It's the goodness of the Lord. In conclusion, David said it again. Psalms 107:8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. We have something to praise the Lord for this morning. If your heart's heavy, sorrows, grief, disappointments, some of those mountains that may be looming ahead of you. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. We have reason to give God much thanks, and it will change. It will change how we start viewing some of these battles. I am very thankful that we have a God that is rich in goodness this morning.